is. Amen. What a God we serve. Hallelujah. I'd like to take just a few minutes and share a little bit about the product in the back while they shift a few things around. First of all, you should have received in your bulletin a flyer, a handout. You don't have to get it out now. We encourage you to take it home with you, take a look at it if you would like to do so. And then a few of our latest recordings, a lot of the songs that will be sung this morning are in our newest one called Me Higher, and then the one before that is an alt-instrumental CD with the harps and the guitars, and then the a Christmas recording. Of course, we're not in the Christmas season. Well, Christmas is all year long, right? I mean, we're celebrating Christ all year long, but nevertheless, brand new Christmas recording. We were, thank God, able to do a Christmas tour in December. And Lord willing, maybe another one this coming December. We'll see how that goes. And then, of course, the latest one of Nelson and Sarah, I Want to Stroll Over Heaven With You. And then the one before that, Nelson and his nephew James, a bluegrass recording. And then the Stolzfus family, Mel and Katie Ann. They're part-time with the ministry from Halifax, Pennsylvania, and just a wonderful family. Their latest recording called Living Hope. And then also a children's recording. Now, have you ever heard young children? They just do a wonderful job in singing harmonies and just a wonderful recording. Great job they've done. The way our recordings work is all of them are on a donation basis. That doesn't mean they're free, but you simply take an envelope with you, or if you choose to do it here, do a credit card, or of course, cash or check. Our music is also available on Spotify and Apple Music for the younger generation or the older generation. I'm just learning about Spotify. I wasn't sure if it was something you spot and then you fire or something, but no. We're all learning, but it is available on those digital platforms. Last but not least, so good to have, again, Deborah with us here this morning. And her latest book came out about a year ago, right, as the pandemic hit, called Daughter. And it has to do with father-daughter relationships. And rather than me trying to explain it, I'm just going to share just about a two-minute video clip that talks about the book.
Everywhere I go, I hear stories from young women.
We host your presence in this place. We honor you as our King, our Lord, our Master, our life-giving hope. Jesus, I thank you this morning that you are not dead. All the other religions in the world, their leader has gone. He's dead. But Jesus, you are alive. You are living hope, according to Peter. Life-giving hope. As we surrender our life to you, your life is in us. We contain your very presence. The very power that rolled away the stone that brought you from a dead state to an alive state, that very power is within us. Thank you. Thank you for the marvelous plan of salvation that someone who is lost with no hope, on our way to an eternity with no hope, but then Jesus, that when we confess with our mouth you, Jesus, and believe in our heart that you were raised from the dead, we shall be saved, and your very presence and power moves within us. Now we become the building, the house of the living God. In the new covenant, we contain your presence. Jesus, all God's people said, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you so much, children, for taking us to the throne room in that way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is it okay if I just stay right down here? I kind of like this pulpit. Kind of like that. Maybe we'll just take it with us. If you see it missing, just call me and we'll confess later. But what a joy to have the privilege of gathering together in this way and hosting His presence. You know, Isaiah 19:1, the last part of that verse, it's not the message this morning, but if you look at that verse, it's a verse that has so encouraged me, challenged me. Last part of that verse goes something like this: in the presence of the Lord, the idols of Egypt are removed. The presence of the Lord, the idols of Egypt are removed. And as believers, it's not our job to fix anybody or anything. Our job is to host His presence and set the table for people to eat at His table. And you watch those in bondage be set free, the unsaved get saved, those in bondage be set free, and in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit ministers to the saint that is sold out for Jesus Christ, all at the same time. Our responsibility or privilege is to set the table and just host His presence and then stand back and watch Him do the ministry. It's so freeing. It's so freeing. So I invite us to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, if you will. 2 Kings chapter 4 is where I sense the Lord leading us this morning. Overcome the poison in the pot. I thought about just calling it the poison in the pot. But the more I think about it, I trust all of us are believers here this morning. Maybe not, but at least majority. But the reason I don't want to just talk about the poison in the pot is as believers in Christ, those who are born again, part of the family of God, we are overcomers. We don't just look at what's out there, but we are overcomers, in fact, more than conquerors in Christ. So overcoming the poison in the pot. This is a rather interesting account in 2 Kings chapter 4, the main text taken from verse 38 to verse 41. I am used to preaching out of the King James. It's just something I started with many years ago and just kind of got familiar with that. And I still have the same Bible. I've got it rebound several times because you know where stuff is, you know, left side, second column, halfway down, you know. Those kind of things. But I want to read this in the NLT this morning. I have the verses on the screen in case you don't have that version. And the reason I do this is just to, sometimes, especially in some of these kind of unusual texts, I go to other translations to, I know it's the Holy Spirit that brings the revelation and all of it, but just to help me understand a little bit better, what are we talking about? So I want to do that here this morning in this text. Elisha now returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. And one day, as the group of prophets was seated before him, he said to his servant, "Put a large pot on the fire and make some stew for the rest of the group." One of the young men, he went out into the field to gather herbs, and he came back with a pocket full of wild gourds. He shredded them and he put them into the pot without realizing they were poisonous. Some of the stew was served to the men, but after they had eaten a bite or two, they cried out, "Man of God, there's poison in this stew." So they would not eat. Elisha said, "Bring me some flour." Then he threw it into the pot and he said, "Now it's all right. Go ahead and eat." And then it did not harm them. Overcome the poison in the pot. Very interesting account, is it not? You know, sometimes we don't know what we're eating, much like some time ago the story came across where There was a pastor who went to visit one of his church members, an older lady who was only had days to live. As he got to her house and sat into the living room where she was, he sat on the chair on the couch next to her. In front of where she was seated, there was a little coffee table or a stand of some sort, and on there was a bowl of peanuts. And the pastor, as he began the conversation, he was a bit hungry, hadn't eaten much that day, and he looked at the peanuts, and he was hungry, and so he wanted some of them. So he had enough nerve to just ask the lady, hey, those peanuts, they look really good. Would you mind if I would eat some of them? She said, oh, have at it, Pastor. It's all good. It's eat them. And so he started eating a few, and they're talking, and he kind of got sidetracked in the conversation. He kept taking more and eating more. He kept taking more. By the end, an hour later, by the end of the conversation, he had practically eaten all the peanuts. Felt really bad when he realized, really eaten pretty much all of them. And as he got up to leave, he looked at lady. He said, lady, I feel really bad. I'm sorry, but I kind of ate all your peanuts. And she said, oh, Pastor, it is just fine. It is no problem. She said, since I'm older, I have a lot of my teeth missing, and so I just suck off the chocolate and leave the peanuts. Sometimes we don't know what we're eating. We don't realize what we're eating. And where I want to go with this morning is in the last year and several months, we have been fed a lot of poison. There's been a lot of poison going around. There's been, and I'm specifically referring to the pandemic. Now, I want to be very respectful in addressing this, because I am not one to say it's got to be this way and it's got to be this way. I want to be very, very respectful in how that I address this. But however, I do feel that it is the responsibility of the church to share the whole kit and caboodle and not just half of it. The public and the health experts and the news media and all of them, they have been very intentional and very emphatic about covering their part of the pandemic. And I also realize that every one of us comes from a perspective of our experiences and all of that. I know people that work in the medical field, they have a different experience than I do, and I'm very sensitive to that. I'm very respectful to that. And I know they've experienced things that probably many of us, we may have some here this morning, I don't know, but they've experienced things when they've seen it on the front line that many of us have not seen. That doesn't change the fact that we got to cover the whole thing. Personally, we went through it. We had the virus all in our family, our ministry, and back in the month of May, almost a year ago, went through that whole spiel. Thankfully, we're all still here, survived. We have not had it real hard or real bad. A couple of our staff, one was in the hospital for a few days, largely because he had a pre-existing heart condition, and so he was quicker to be admitted. But another one didn't go to the hospital, but had it very bad. He was down flat for about a week, but thankfully we've all survived and came through it, and so that was our personal experience with it. However, sometimes we don't know what we're eating, and as it refers to this pandemic, and when I look at this passage of Scripture, in what was happening here, where Elijah came again, and you know there was a famine in the land, and the sons of the prophets are sitting before him, and set on a great pot of stew or pottage, another translation would use. And then one went out into the field to gather herbs. He found wild vine, gathered wild gourds, a whole lapful. So you picture this guy coming back with, it's basically a wild gourd, a glorified cucumber, or something of that nature. But he came back with a whole armful, so they didn't realize what was going on, so they start chopping it up, and they put it in this stew, not realizing it was poison. So they all of a sudden, they end up with all this poison in this stew. So what are we going to do with this? How are we going to handle this? What's going to happen? They start eating, and all of a sudden, it was like, you ever have food poisoning? Spiet. It doesn't feel very well if I translate. And so all of a sudden it's like, we're sick, we can't eat anymore. And then Elisha, he not only addressed the poison, but he said they poured out for the man to eat. And it came to pass as they were eating the pottage that they cried out and said, "Oh, thou man of God, there's death in the pot. There's poison in the pot." And they couldn't eat, but he said, "Bring me some meal. Bring me some flour." Now, I'll get back to the flour part in just a little bit. But you relate this story to the pandemic that we have been processing in our world, I would say in our country, but in our world, really, all over the world. So as we listen to the news media, and as we listen to the health experts, and as we listen to all of those people, I don't know how you find it, but all the theories and the conspiracies and who do you believe and who don't you believe, and what do you say about this and what do you say about that? In the middle of all of that, several months after it was exposed in March, and then several months when we were diagnosed with the virus and yes, got tested and all of that, another theory that some people say, well, you should get tested. Other people say, no, you shouldn't get tested. What do you do? So now we have this to deal with. So I'm attempting to lead my family through this, our ministry through this, and what do you do and what don't you do? And in the middle of all of that, I felt this incredible heaviness, just a weight on my chest. Like just a weight. It was like somebody was laying brick. Hi, Dave. You weren't around. It's not like you were laying brick on my, I mean, you weren't around in the Carolinas. But it's what it felt like, just a weight. One day it was worse than another day, and then it would come and it would go, but I was dealing with this weight. Finally, we got through it. Our quarantine time was up. We were back in operation again and felt good and started getting our smell back and all of that, taste. Soon after that, one night, I was on the lawnmower. And I don't know what you experience when you mow lawn, but I was on the mower and praying, just communicating with the Lord, trying to keep a straight line. And all of a sudden, it was like, and that weight was somewhat gone. It would periodically pop up. But I remember just sitting there. I remember right at the spot where I was in the lawn, I just remember asking the Lord specifically, I said, "Lord, what was that weight? What was the weight that I felt back when we were in the middle of dealing with this pandemic? What was that weight, Lord?" And within 5 seconds, I heard three words as clear as if this young man would stand up in front of me and say them to me. It was not literally audible. I mean, I had the noise of the lawnmower and all that going on, but it was in my spirit. I heard it very, very clear. And these were the three words that I heard just almost instantly when I asked the Lord, "What was that weight?" And here were the three words I heard: confusion, control, and fear. Those were the three words I heard. And leading up to this, even before we had the pandemic, I would encourage people, now, let's not be, you know, dumb about it. Let's be wise about it, but let's also not give in to fear where, you know, I would tell people that. You know, I would encourage people like, well, just, you know, be wise, but don't give in to fear and all of that. But that night when I heard those three words, I was aware more of the fear, but I wasn't as aware of the confusion and the control. And when I heard those three words, confusion, control, and fear, it was like, it was I call it a lawnmower revelation. Hallelujah. It was that. It was a lawnmower revelation where control, fear, and confusion. I said, "Lord, I dealt with all three of that." As we were in the middle of the thing, I would call somebody and ask for advice. I'd get off the phone with that person. And, man, I was more confused than I was before the call. And then the next person I talked to, and that person, I felt completely controlled by that person. And I get off the phone, and I'm like, wow, I'm confused with this. I'm controlled by this. So I'm fear wanted to come in. And I remember that night, I said, Lord, I see it, I hear you, and I repent from all three of them. Because Jesus Christ has overcome confusion, he's overcome control, and he's overcome fear. I am free in him. Right there on the lawnmower, all this was happening. I don't know how the rose looked after that. But it was a lawnmower revelation that night where I was able to just tune in with the Lord and say, oh God, I am so sorry that I even entertained. I'm so sorry that I even was eating that poison. I came to a place where I couldn't even stand watching any kind of news or listening to any of it. Friends, sometimes we're better off just shutting that junk off. We're better off shutting it off because a lot of the stuff is nothing but poison. And the church has given into it way too much. And that night, as I was processing all of that, I sensed the Lord speaking to my heart saying, this is the other side of what the health experts and the news media is not telling the people. So it's our responsibility to tell them. I said, Lord, give me the grace to do it. In opportunities that you give me, we got to share the whole kit and caboodle. What CNN and MSNBC and CBS and all of those are not telling you is the spirit that is driving this virus, control, confusion, and fear. We got to talk about it so that the church is aware of it, to not eat of that poison. And then even our attitudes in the middle of all that, another poison we can so easily partake of. Our attitude, one morning, through that whole time, I was on my recliner at home and reading the Word, and I was in 2 Corinthians 4. And I remember that morning, there was a stirring going on in my heart, just a frustration. I imagine none of you get that carnal through this whole thing, but I did. I was just frustrated at specifically certain governors. Now, I better not start mentioning names. But, you know, certain governors that were kind of on the front line of the news. And in my heart, I was upset. I was like, you turkeys, you guys. I mean, don't you see it? Then I'm reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In the verse where it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. I was reading right there. And I was like, well, there it is, Lord. It's these people, the God of this world, Satan, he has blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's why they make decisions that they do. So I was kind of building my case of frustration. But then, you know what it says right after that? Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Now I sat there, and when I read that, lest the light, so I'm frustrated at certain governors in the decisions that they're making, and I'm building my case because the God of this world has blinded their minds, right? And right after that, it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. And man, I broke and wept. You know the poison I was eating? My attitude toward these people in the decisions that they're making. My heart broke and I repented. I said, Lord, my attitude is not right. And I began to pray for these governors instead of carrying that anger and frustration at them. And I began to name them. Lord, I pray for governor, and I pray for governor so-and-so and so-and-so. Completely changed my attitude toward these people. You know, there is no governor that is too far gone for the light of the gospel to reach them. There's not one, he or her, that is too far gone for the light of the gospel, for the Spirit of God to draw them. At one point in our life, I was as lost as they are. So the gospel can reach them. So it's our responsibility not to
put them down, but to pray for them. Yeah, we may have our opinions. We may have a bit of a righteous anger at times because of sin and all. I believe there's a place for that. But yet we got to pray for those people. Pray that the light of the gospel, that people would even send messengers their way that would share Christ with them. I was a hard-hearted man before I found Christ. All of us were. And God broke my heart that morning. You know, what about your attitude toward these people? What about our attitude toward, now I'll start naming, Nancy Pelosi, or what goes on in our heart when we hear that name, or Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, what happens in our heart when we say those names? Decisions that are being made. Am I partaking of the poison? But my attitude, I think it was Eugene this morning somewhere, something to the effect that be the change that you want to see in the world. We want these people to change. You know, not everything in America is bad. We've been fed so much poison and so much negativity in America that God is motivating the church to bring out the light in the midst of the darkness. Instead of giving in to the darkness and sitting here arguing about who's right and who's wrong with each other, friend, the thing has actually split churches. That spirit has to go in the name of Jesus, because greater is He that is in us. Too many of us have been eating poison and letting that poison just eat us up, cause divisions, not only in church, but in families. And we hear stories of, it's amazing how we've allowed the enemy to come in and we're eating of this poison. God is calling the church to rise up above that. Just what Elisha did. Bring me some flour. What does flour have to do with it? You know, in this pot, they couldn't just reach in and remove the poison. Because it was in there. It was stirred in there. It was chopped up. It was stirred in there. I mean, it was all in there. So they couldn't just reach in and pull it out. So Elisha had this idea. Bring me some flour. Apparently the flour neutralized it or somehow overpowered the poison. So the poison is in there. We can't just reach in and pull out. So we got to bring something in to overpower the poison. Bring me some flour. May I relate that to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? We want to overcome the poison that we've been fed. Oh, greater is He that is in us. He will overpower any poison that we have been fed. Not everything in America is bad. There are a lot of godly people out there calling on the name of the Lord our God. In the midst of all this, last September 26th, I remember that week, somehow I came across that Franklin Graham, Dr. Franklin Graham is putting on a prayer march, they called it, in our nation's capital. And I looked at that. This was, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday, and it was going to happen that Saturday. I looked at that. We were home at the time, and I was like, man, I'd love to go to that. Wonder what this is all about. Couldn't see my way through financially and just schedule-wise and everything, and my wife and daughters were going to go up to Indiana for the weekend, and I said something to my wife, and I was like, she's like, go. And I'm like, yeah, but boys and I were doing sound for a wedding Friday night or something, and I would have had to fly up, and we have a wedding coming up a month later, and it's going to cost me this and this, and we can't afford that. And somehow, she doesn't pay the bills, but she just said, go. And I was praying about it, and on Thursday, and there in my office, and an appointment that afternoon with my little pickup. I drive around to work and back, office and back, and had an appointment at the local Ford garage. You know the place, Stotts Ford. 2:30 in the afternoon. So I'm just at the tail end of my lunch break earlier, and I'm checking some flights to fly up there Saturday morning and come back that night or the next morning or something. And it's like, man, it's going to cost too much. I don't think. By that time, Stotts Ford calls. Never happened before like this. It's like an hour before the appointment. They said, hey, we had a cancellation. Could you come now? I said, sure. So I go over there. Now, this is all about timing. I go over there, and the owner of the Ford garage is in the shop, out in the maintenance shop, which hardly ever happens. But he's out there, and we haven't seen each other for several months, and we know each other very well. And we start chatting, and in our conversation, we're talking about the pandemic. We're talking about everything that's happening and about life and business and ministry and all of that. And then he quotes Billy Graham. I was like, interesting. Here I find out that he sponsors a local radio station down there, 106.9, this owner. And they just had a luncheon appreciation for the sponsors and all that. And so he's quoting Billy Graham. And I said, interesting, you're quoting Billy Graham. I said, are you aware what Franklin is doing in D.C. this weekend? This was on a Thursday. He said, yes, I'm aware of that. And I said, it's interesting. I just told my wife I wouldn't mind going, but I don't really see my way through. And he didn't know any of this stuff, you know. And we got to chatting a little bit about it. And then we parted. He went in the showroom, and I went in the little waiting area there. And I was in there about a half hour just doing other stuff. And then he came in, and he said, hey, when you got a minute, come over here. So after I was done what I was doing, I went over, and he kind of pulled me around the corner, like a little private deal here. I was like, what is going on here? The owner of a Ford garage place. And he pulls me around the corner. He said, well, first of all, your pickup is ready. He said, secondly, you go back to your office, you book your ticket, I'm paying for it. You need to go to D.C. this weekend. And I just stood there in tears. I was like, I don't know what to say. He said, you don't have to say anything. You want my credit card or a check? Which would you like? So I go back to the office, and I went on. This is like $500, $498 for a ticket, round trip up and back. He never asked price or anything. I called him back up. I said, do you realize this is about $500? He said, it's fine. You need to go. Gave me his credit card over the phone. I'm telling you that to just bring in how God orchestrates these things. And I go up there, and I get to D.C. that next morning. And I walk out where the prayer march was to begin in the Lincoln Memorial, and then a two-point-some-mile walk to the Capitol building. Tens of thousands of people. And I remember walking there to the memorial, and before long I saw this. So I'm standing right up there in the front, and I wasn't sure where the main focal point was because there's so many people around. And I saw a tower of speakers kind of in the distance, so I tried to make my way up there. And all of a sudden I realized they didn't have a stage, but it was just, you know, the steps that go up to the Lincoln Memorial at one of the flat areas, kind of like here, they had just roped off. And I'm like standing right there, and I realized they're right there. And about that time, Michael W. Smith comes on the piano and he starts playing, and we start singing and worship with these kind of people. And I remember, you know, Sarah Kay, I had to almost pinch myself to realize what is going on right now. I look around, I was so overtaken. And it was like an afterthought of like, oh yeah, I did actually come to pray. I was so overtaken by what was going on that I couldn't hardly even pray. Where all of a sudden, where tens of thousands of people, yes, in America, tens of thousands, I'm telling you this to lead up to, not everything in America is bad. We've been fed so much poison, it's our job to speak life and bring the other side into this thing. There are tens of thousands of people, and that day I was right in the middle of it, where everybody was calling on the name of the Lord our God in our country. The state capital. There are still godly people in America. Not everybody is bad, and not everybody that gets the virus dies. In fact, in January, when things finally opened up, in fact, Brother Nelson is over in Uganda right now, just left last week. But in January, a couple months ago, was the first time that we were able to get back over there with different testings and regulations we had to go through. But when they get over there, even the people there could not believe. If you read in the newsletter, he's writing about the newsletter in your handout. You've come back. Actually, when they were at the airport, one of the pastors called and said, did they really come? Because their understanding of the virus is that anybody that gets it dies. That was their understanding. Not everybody that gets it dies. We're still alive. Hello? Yeah. Wow. Overcomers. Overcomers. But that day, what I didn't realize, as I approached the Lincoln Memorial, I called my friend, Paul Mark Miller from Holmes County. Many of you know him. I'd seen on Facebook on my way there when I was at the airport that he was up there the night before, and I texted him. I said, hey, are you in D.C.? He said, yes. So when I get to this place, I called him. I'm trying to find him. So he's saying, well, he's talking about this little white tent and this little thing, and I'm over here, and I'm over here. I'm like, finally, I was looking around, and I was like, I said, I'm not sure where you are, but I'm pretty sure we're not at the same place. And he said, well, I'm down here at the lawn at the return. I said, the return, what's that? What I didn't know and realize is at the same time, at the same day, so we start out the Lincoln Memorial and we walk, and halfway through is what's called the lawn area. And there was Jonathan Cahn, the Jewish rabbi, prophet, and he was putting on the event called the return. Maybe, was anybody there? Oh, you were watching. Okay. Yeah, you were there. Okay. I could tell by your expression you knew something about it. But I didn't realize this was going on. And so we're walking. So halfway between the Lincoln Memorial and the Capitol building, there's another group, tens of thousands of people worshiping and praying. Yes. Wow. Not everything in America is bad, people. So moved that day. So moved that day. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what? Everything that has happened in the last year in our nation, it ought to wake us up. It ought to wake us up. And if there's anything positive, I'll say this. If there's anything positive about Joe Biden being our president, it is a call for the church to wake up. I believe the church is going to wake up quicker this way. I believe it. I believe it. Friend, we have opportunities like we have. Eugene was talking about it. We have opportunities we haven't had before. God opens doors. I mean, God closes one door. God opens another door. I mean, we've seen things happen in the ministry that we just, it shouldn't be this way, but it is, because God is an overcomer. And when his life is in us, we are overcomers. We're not defeated, church. We are the life. Should be. We're the life. But if we keep eating poison, we become just like the rest of the world. The rest of the world. We've seen things happen in the ministry. Doors God has opened. The Bible studies, brother, what you were in charge of when you were down there, that's the only way in the prison right now. Or one of the ways. And that whole ministry just escalated. Every 2 weeks, Jerry is now sending like 50 packets out to prisons. Our goal is to get these Bible studies. There's about 7,000 institutions in America. Our goal is to get into all 7,000 of them. We're about 12 or 1,300 right now. We have a long way to go. But God has just blessed. God has just touched people's hearts financially and has just given. You know, one day out of the blue, I get a message from a friend of mine. I hadn't talked to him for years. And he says, hey, I saw somewhere in your literature, your goal is to get the Bible studies in all the prisons. How many are there? Where are you at? I said, well, I'll find out. So I talked to Jerry. I said, hey, where are we at? And at that time, we were at about 700 prisons out of 7,000. So I responded back to the guy, and he said, okay, great. He said, that's really my heart. He said, I sit on a board of an organization that distributes charities and funds and so on, and before he said this, he said, could I have your address? And I could kind of tell where this is going. And I quickly gave him the address, and then he said, we're going to send a check. And then the next message, he said, and just in case you want to do strategic planning, the check will be $50,000 for the Bible studies to go into prison. And I'm telling you that those kind of things, this is in the middle of this pandemic. Those kind of things shouldn't happen, but God. Another, we're having 10 meetings in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I wasn't going to share all this, but 10 meetings in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. This was in August. The local committee were like, hey, once the crusade budget is met, give us a project. Give us a project. We want to go way over and above that financially. And, of course, tent meetings are not fundraisers. These are tent meetings. These are revival meetings. You know, but that was a local committee. They requested, give us a project. We sat down as a team, and we were like, Bible studies, because that inmates are lonely. They're looking for things to do. Nobody, no visitation, no visitors, nothing. They're lonely. We complain about not being able to go in. What about them? Wow. And then the committee, we were just ready to place an order for Bible studies for about $25,000. And I got back to the committee. I said, hey, here's where we're at. Here's the project. Here's what we agreed upon. Is that too much? You know, I was kind of hesitant. The guy was like, oh, no, this is just fine, you know. And so we get up there and start the tent meetings. The first night, before the meetings even started, somebody came and informed me that the crusade budget is already met by the time the meetings even started. 2 weeks, tent meetings. By the middle Sunday night, I'm up on the stage just ready to go up to preach, and after they counted the offering, and the guy come behind the stage, and he motioned me back. I went down. He said, hey, tell the people the 25,000 is met. We're going to go for another 25 this week. I'm like, are you kidding me? No, tell them. I said, okay, I'll tell them. So I got up, and I told them. Long story short, by the end of those tent meetings, in addition to the crusade budget, $58,000 came in for the Bible studies for the prisoners. Stuff that shouldn't be happening, but God! Yeah! Stuff that shouldn't be happening, but God! And can I just say this? Somebody hands a check for the international ministry. I mean, God has provided through His people. People like you. God has just poured out for the international work in food parcels and shelters. And because the pandemic, we think it's bad here. You ought to go there. I mean, they have no medical facilities. They're just scared stiff. Their teachers don't have money. Their schools are shut. Everything is shut down. Was. And they're just scared. And God's people like you, have rallied around and have just given and given and given. One individual handed a check to us for $100,000 for the international work. I'm telling you this to glorify God. Not everything in America is bad. God's people are waking up, but there's an element who are not yet awake. And I believe it's our duty to proclaim the fact that we have the answer. And what the news media and all of them, that's only part of the story. Let's be aware of the poison, but then let's bring in the flower to overcome the poison. It's all in here. One day a man went to the grocery store. It was his time to cook. He thought, I'm going to go grocery store and going to make some spaghetti. So he finds the spaghetti sauce. He goes up to the counter and he sets it on the counter. He asks the lady, he said, I have the sauce here, but where are the tomatoes? The lady looked at him a bit strange. And well, the lady said, it's in there. It's in the jar. Oh, it's in there, yeah. Well, where's the oregano? It's in there. Oh, it's in the, yeah, it's in there. Where's the garlic? What about the garlic? The lady said, it's in there. Well, what about the basil? It's in there. All of a sudden, this man realized everything he wanted to make this delicious meal, he had right there in one package, in one deal. How about a church? Everything is in here in order for us to overcome the poison in the pot. And when God puts something together, he leaves nothing out. Everything is in here, fully packed and loaded. Friend, the church, can I say this? We have our guns loaded. And we have nothing to fear. If it is the end times, last year, in fact, we were scheduled to be here and then it fell through because of all of this. But on our 20-year anniversary tour, we're able to do some of it. My wife kept sharing night after night in testimonies like, so what if this is the end times? Sooner or later, he's coming back. We believe we're in Revelation somewhere. We're just not exactly sure which chapter we're in. Yeah. But so what if this is the end times? This is exciting because, friend, we have everything. We have the answer to overcome any poison, any fear, any confusion, any control. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Just like Elisha said, bring me some flour to overpower the poison. Bring me God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit who is in us, and that is enough to overcome any poison. How about it this morning? Can we bow our heads together for a moment? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus. We thank you, thank you, thank you. We just bow in your presence this morning and we host you. Just right now, Holy Spirit, begin in my own heart. Lord, you've been speaking to me. You've been encouraging me, been challenging me. How I walk through this life in our current situation. So I pray right now, Holy Spirit, as you just so gently touch every heart, as we're just sitting here quietly in your presence, and we're hosting you. So Holy Spirit, right now, I would just ask as we enjoy your presence that you would just speak to every heart individually. Just individually, if there's any fear, people feel controlled, people feel confused, would you somehow just minister to the depth of that? Somehow just encourage us this morning. You have overcome all that. I want to surrender to you. Even my attitude toward those in authority that make wrong choices, wrong decisions. How do we process this in life? But God, I want to stay lit up. I don't want to become discouraged at all the darkness, but Lord, the only reason darkness exists is the absence of light. So, Lord, I pray that you would keep us lit up, that you would show us how to live in this day and age, and that we don't get comfortable just eating the poison like the rest of the world. But we're aware of the poison, we're aware of it, but then we surrender to you and we allow you to lead us and not the poisonous voices. But then we pray for those who put the poison out. We don't have wrong attitudes or bad attitudes, but we pray for them. We lift them to your throne. And Lord, I thank you that there are still tens of thousands of people in America that are calling upon the name of the Lord our God. Many today are being raised up to new levels in their relationship with you. And so, God, we've seen you do things and change lives and hearts through things that doors that God had, that you have opened that wouldn't have opened any other way. So, Lord, this morning, I want to just thank you for what you're doing in the midst of all of this. So, Holy Spirit, right now, just as we pause for a moment, do your ministry in every heart just right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy are you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for this congregation here. Pray for the leadership, upcoming ordination, everything else that's happening in this congregation. Oh God, as we leave this building Sunday after Sunday, oh God, with the light of Jesus, shine all over the community and eventually all over the world. And Lord, help us to realize that the building is not the church. We are the church. As we take your message of hope and how that you have overcome all the poison we will ever face. So, Lord, I want to surrender to that. Bless this congregation in the name of Jesus as they continue to serve you here. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I want to thank you for this opportunity, Laverne, and also for your financial blessings, the offering this morning. We are so, so grateful. People like you have said this many times. If you wouldn't do what you do, we couldn't do what we do. I don't look at it like we're in full-time ministry and you're not. We're all in full-time ministry together. We just carry it out in different ways. God bless you all. Thank you. I'll turn the time over to you.